Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1997. Who are the haters?
Hello. My organization, the National Alliance, concerns itself with all things relevant to the welfare and progress of the European peoples, the white people of this earth. We are advocates for all things which are or could be beneficial to our people, and we are opponents of all the influences and tendencies and groups who are harmful or potentially harmful to our people. As a consequence of this, we receive a certain amount of hate mail, and I find it interesting to read these hate letters and try to understand the psychology, the motivations of the people who write them. I won't read any of these hate letters to you today because they're all pretty nasty and depressing and tend to lean pretty heavily on the use of four-letter words. They also tend to be blindly and irrationally hateful and to be based less on what I actually have said or done than on some misrepresentation about me or the National Alliance which has appeared recently in the controlled media. In fact, there's a very strong correlation between some sensational story appearing on television or in the New York Times or the Village Voice about the National Alliance being a so-called hate group and my novel, The Turner Diaries, being a blueprint for various acts of domestic terrorism on the one hand, and on the other hand, the arrival of these hate letters at our office a few days thereafter. It is clear to me that these sensational stories in the controlled media, which all purport to be against hate, in fact, they claim to deplore the growth of hate in our society, to be alarmed about it, and to be seeking ways to ameliorate it. These stories denouncing hate have the effect of causing the arrival of a flurry of hate letters at our office. There is a definite cause and effect relationship. And the more I've thought about this, the more I've become convinced that it was planned that way. Which is to say, all of these media protests about the growth of hate in America are designed and intended for the specific purpose of provoking hate, of inciting hate. If you collect these stories from the New York Times or Time or Newsweek or other Jewish publications and study them as I do, you'll see a certain pattern. For example, they always use the word hate in writing about me or the National Alliance. Even a relatively short story may use the word hate or hater or the phrase hate group a dozen or more times. It's clear that this isn't just a fluke because it occurs so consistently. What they're deliberately trying to do is create an association in the mind of the average reader or television viewer between any mention of me or my organization and the emotion of hatred. In fact, they not only want the listeners or viewers to reflexively think hate when they hear my name or the name of the National Alliance, they want them to feel hate. And it seems to work to a certain extent, judging from this correlation I mentioned between the appearance of these stories and the arrival of hate mail at our office. It's an irrational, Pavlovian sort of thing because, as I mentioned a minute ago, the National Alliance is not a hate group of any sort, but instead is a group dedicated to the welfare and progress of our people. But clearly, there are folks out there who feel threatened by any such effort. Folks who regard any activity aimed at building a sense of racial solidarity and racial consciousness among Europeans as a threat to themselves. And foremost among these folks are those who control the mass media, those who own the New York Times and the Village Voice and Time and Newsweek magazines and the rest. And they are a deceitful bunch. They don't come right out and say that they are opposed to white people regaining an understanding of our roots and an appreciation for our own unique qualities in a rapidly darkening world and a sense of responsibility for the future of our people. They don't say this. Instead, they attempt to generate negative associations in the minds of their mass audience. They attempt to use psychological trickery to keep our people confused and disorganized. They don't want us thinking clearly about what is in our own interest and what is not. And they deliberately attempt to incite hatred against me and others who are concerned about the future of our people. They've had a lot of experience at inciting hatred. If you're a person of German ancestry, you'll certainly understand this. For the past 60 years, ever since the late 1930s, the media bosses have been cranking out films, hundreds of them, designed to incite hatred against Germans. Crude, heavy-handed films, full of distortions and outright lies, but still effective enough to profoundly affect public opinion and national policy. You may be better able to understand this media bias if you compare the films they have made about Germans with the films they have made about Japanese. You know, it was Japan who attacked the United States in the Second World War, not Germany. The Germans wanted very much to avoid conflict with America and even ignored the deliberate provocations of the Roosevelt government, such as the attacks on German ships ordered by Roosevelt. After we were in the war, the Germans treated American prisoners correctly, in contrast to the Japanese, who often behaved brutally toward American prisoners, starving and torturing them. But the films coming out of Hollywood hardly reflect this reality. For every anti-Japanese film, there are 100 anti-German films. In fact, Hollywood's tendency has been to generate sympathy toward the Japanese by reminding Americans at every opportunity about our internment of Japanese civilians in concentration camps in this country during the war. By way of contrast, the Germans are portrayed as sadistic automatons clicking their heels and shouting Sieg Heil as they massacre prisoners. Think about this difference between the Hollywood portrayal of Japanese and Germans. You won't have to think very long to understand that the reason the media bosses want to incite hatred against the Germans, but not against the Japanese, is based on the fact that the Germans were in the business of freeing their own country of Jewish influence and of fighting against Jewish communism everywhere in Europe, while the Japanese were blessed by not having a Jewish problem to deal with. The media bosses, in other words, couldn't care less about the fact that the Germans treated American prisoners of war correctly and the Japanese didn't. All they care about is the way their fellow Jews were treated. And that ethnic self-centeredness of theirs shows up in almost all of their propaganda. Anyway, for the last few years, their hate propaganda has been directed not just at Germans, but also at everyone who is not politically correct, especially those groups like the National Alliance, who stand on the Jewish issue or the race issue differs from their own. And they have added the new twist I mentioned, using a pretended campaign against hate to incite hate. You know, I didn't think much about hate myself until becoming the target of this Jewish hate campaign. And then I had to ask myself, am I really a hater? Certainly not in the way the people who send those hate letters are. But yes, I suppose I do hate some people. Whenever I look at what has happened to our cities and our schools during the past 30 or 40 years, I cannot suppress my feeling of hostility toward the blacks and mestizos and Asians who have made so much of our country an enemy-occupied wasteland. I feel a surge of anger every time I see a non-white face on television or in an advertisement. 30 or 40 years ago, before all of the new civil rights laws gave them a privileged status, and when there were 25 or 30 million fewer of them in the country, I didn't feel this hostility. I figured then that we could each stay in our own communities and we wouldn't get in each other's way. But now I want them out of our country, out of our living space. But even so, my hostility toward these non-whites who are overrunning my world is not the nasty sort of hatred embellished with obscenity that I see expressed in the hate letters I receive. When I see a hate letter, I often feel a flash of anger at the hater who wrote it. But I cannot say that I really hate even these hate letter writers. They are simply the people, most of them white, who are incited by the real hate mongers, the media bosses. My feeling toward these Jewish media bosses and all of the clever little Jewish propagandists who write news stories about so-called hate groups in an attempt to make ordinary people hate me is much closer to real hatred. Over the years, they have done enormous damage to our people with their poisonous propaganda, and they aspire to do even more. One way or another, we must get rid of them and make sure that they can never harm our people again. But really, I reserve my most heartfelt hatred for the collaborators among my own people who make it possible for the Jews to do their damage, collaborators who consciously and deliberately betray their own people, lie to their own people in order to gain advantage for themselves. The politicians and the generals and the public officials and the clergymen and the professors and the writers and the businessmen and the publicists who are not incited to hatred by the psychological tricks of the Jews, as are the suggestible fools who write hate letters, but who consciously and deliberately choose race treason, believing that they will gain a personal advantage from it. There is no fire in hell hot enough to punish these traitors, and there will be no place for them to hide when the day of retribution comes. Yes, I hate traitors. I hate liars and deceivers. And I cannot say that I feel at all apologetic about the fact that I hate them. Hate may be an unpleasant sort of emotion, but it serves its good purpose, and that is why Mother Nature gave us the capability to hate. It is one of the faculties which protects us from our traitors and our deceivers by ensuring that we will punish them, that we will weed them from our midst when we catch them, instead of forgiving them and giving them a chance to betray us again. Nevertheless, I reject the label of hater with which the real hate mongers have tried to brand me. I spend very little of my time hating, and a great deal of my time spreading understanding, or trying to, with the hope that it will benefit my people. And one of the things I believe that we must understand, that we must always be aware of, is the motivation of the professional hate mongers, as well as the trickery with which they ply their trade. Their trick of using the pretense of altruistically fighting hate in order to incite hate against their enemies is relatively new. They invented the terms hate crime and hate speech only a little over a decade ago. Unless, of course, one wants to give the credit for that to George Orwell, who popularized the essentially identical concept of thought crime in 1948 with his futuristic novel 1984. In any case, they used their political influence to forced the government and the various police agencies around the country to give official recognition to their invention, or Orwell's invention if you prefer, with the passage of the so-called Hate Crimes Statistics Reporting Act of 1990. And then almost overnight, all of their mass media began using the terms. Now they've got the President of the United States running around the country giving speeches about stamping out hate crime and hate speech. It's their way of demonizing their enemies, of making their enemies seem like irrational, dangerous, and hateful people. The sort of people that it's all right for decent folks to hate. So the trick is new, but the hate they bear against humanity certainly isn't new. 2,000 years ago, the great Roman historian Tacitus, noted as the principal distinguishing characteristic of the Jews, their hatred for every nation but their own. This hatred they bear against other peoples may serve a useful purpose for the Jews by helping them to remain apart and to retain their own identity while existing as a small but influential minority among much larger host populations. But it certainly isn't helpful to our people. They almost instinctively are hostile to every institution of ours which holds us together and gives us our strength and solidarity. Back during the Vietnam War, they were at the forefront of the flag burners, and they persuaded a whole generation of university students and other young Americans to despise patriotism. Today, their deceptive hate campaign is still directed against patriots, whom they portray as terrorists or potential terrorists. Consider, for example, the whole set of ideas and attitudes associated with political correctness. Political correctness really has not been codified in any formal way so that one can refer to some official proclamation in order to determine what is politically correct and what is not. Nevertheless, we all know. We absorb this knowledge from the mass media. We know, for example, that the United Negro College Fund and the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People are politically correct. No one flinches or protests at the mention of these very real organizations. But at the same time, we all know that if anyone dared to attempt to organize a college fund reserved for white students, he would be met with howls of outrage from the guardians of political correctness. We know that any association for the advancement of white interests will be branded immediately a hate group by the Jewish media and by all of the politicians who dance to their tune, as the National Alliance is. In fact, any club or other organization with an all-white membership is bound to be under suspicion of being a hate group, although the same suspicion is never directed against an all-Jewish organization, or an all-Chinese organization, or an organization all of whose members are American Indians, for example. We all know that to express revulsion for the practices of homosexuals is the height of political incorrectness and will get us branded as haters in an instant. Even if we want to give our own children positive examples of heterosexual masculinity or heterosexual femininity in order to guide the development of their own attitudes toward sex, we had better do it quietly if we don't want to be accused of hate. Likewise, any expression of support for the maintenance of traditional sex roles, any suggestion that armed combat is not a proper role for women, for example, is sure to bring one under suspicion as a hater. We all know that whenever white people, European people, are in conflict with non-whites, whether in South Africa or America or anywhere else on this increasingly overcrowded planet, it is politically correct to be on the non-white side. To be on the white side is to be a hater. If one expresses agreement with the French people who believe that the French government should cut off the immigration of Africans from the former French colonies in Africa, for example, one is a hater. If one agrees with the Germans who believe that there are too many Turkish guest workers in Germany, one is a hater. If one agrees with Englishmen that the Pakistanis in England should be sent back to Pakistan, one is a hater. And if we suggest that the American government should not let wetbacks continue to pour into the United States across the Rio Grande, we are haters. Indeed, only a hater would dare use the term wetback these days. If we are sufficiently sensitive to the message of the controlled media, in fact, we understand that any expression of concern for our people, any effort to safeguard the future of our people, any public support for our traditions and our culture and our folkways is hateful. And the unspoken message also is that we will be hated if we are not politically correct. The message is that the sort of trendy fools who send me viciously obscene hate letters will be incited to hate anyone who dares not toe the political line of the Jewish media. It's a shame that it still has to be that way for a while yet. It's a shame that any of our people are incited to hate others of our people. But we have a big mess to clean up in America and elsewhere throughout the white world. And until the mess has been cleaned up, there will be hatred. At least we can understand who is responsible for this hatred. We can understand who the real haters are. Thanks for being with me again today.